a couple of things. First of all, we had Murray here last week, and he had given a report on Galilee Bible Camp, and I have three folders here. He had forgotten to bring his. I had three folders here. I'll leave them at the back. We have a website, www.galileebiblecamp.onforontario.ca for Canada. And if you want to go in and see what's there, there's a number of pages of pictures and so on, comments of different things that we're doing and so on. You might find that interesting and be able to pray for Galilee a little more intelligently that way. So we would encourage you to do that. We realize you're quite involved with Camp Lailolai, so we're not trying to get you mixed up in your commitments, you know. But we're all seeking to do the same work, right? And so we would encourage you in your work there, but we would appreciate your prayers for Galilee Bible Camp as well. Let's turn, shall we, to Ephesians chapter 6. We briefly looked at this last week, but we said that if the Lord so led, we would come back and deal with it again. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 10. Very familiar portion. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's just bow again, shall we, in a word of prayer. Father, we do pray that you would guide our thoughts and speak to us. May we sense your Spirit speaking to our hearts this evening, and may we pay attention, and may we take what we hear and apply it to our lives. We ask this for Christ's honor and for His glory, and in His name, amen. We talked about this last week. We gave you a very brief outline. And we said the first point that I get here, and I find it in verses 10 and 11, is the admonition. The admonition. This admonition deals with three specific things. First of all, it deals with our strength in verse 10. Notice there's some specific things in regards to our strength. Paul says, as he writes this, be strong. It's a command. But it's be strong in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and we could say, be strong in the power of His might. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells me that you and I, when we are facing the battle that is ahead of us, we are to be strong, but not in our own strength. We do not have the power or the strength to fight against the wicked one. It's only in the Lord. It's only in the power of His might that you and I can fight and win any battle at all. It's interesting, my mind, as I was thinking of this again this week and just dwelling on it in preparation for tonight, my mind went to Joshua. You remember Joshua was asked by Moses to go and fight the Amalekites. And what happened? Well, Moses said, now listen, Joshua, you take a group of men and go out and fight while I and Aaron and Hur will go up onto the mountain. And he was to hold his hands up. And as Moses held his hands up, Joshua was winning the battle. As Moses started to drop his arms because they were getting tired, Joshua started to lose the battle. And so we read that they, Aaron and Hur, they got a stone and brought it over for Moses to sit on, and then they supported his hands up. Now we discover, as we study scriptures, that this business of holding our hands up is symbolic of prayer. And so as Moses was essentially praying to God, it was in God's strength that Joshua won. It wasn't because Joshua was such a good fighter. It was because God was fighting the battle. And that's the way it is with us as we go through this spiritual battle that we're in. It's as God does the fighting through us that we win. It's in His might. It's as we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then the second admonition I find here is in verse 11. In fact, it's interesting, this word appears a number of times. So it first of all deals with our strength, but then it deals with our stand. Our stand. Notice it says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And later on you will discover. Verse 13 says that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then verse 14, stand therefore. And so this whole business of being able to stand is important. It's extremely important. In fact, we discover that connected with this is putting on the armor of God. Now that would be fine if we took that and we say, well, okay, I must put on the armor of God. Let's see. One of the pieces that is on here is the having the breastplate of righteousness. So I'll put that on. Now I'm ready to go. No. It doesn't say that idea. It doesn't give us that idea, does it? If you go back, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Beloved, we, if we're going to fight against Satan, we need to have the whole armor, the full armor of God on. We can't leave a piece here or there. We have to take it all. We need to put it all on. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. Because there's going to be a vulnerable spot. And so we must put on the whole armor. And then we are to stand firm. Flip back to chapter 4 of Ephesians here. And notice what it says in verses 14 and 15. Because I think this connects with what we're talking about. And I think it also is very pertinent in this day and age in which we live. What does it say? Ephesians 4 and 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now we'll discover that those are the characteristics that are talked about as far as Satan is concerned. But verse 15, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so we discover that we don't want to be blown around. We don't want to be tossed to and fro. We want to stand and stand firm. We need to be solid. And of course, in being solid, we need to be solid on the rock of Christ, Christ Jesus. Well, the third thing then, it deals with our strength, it deals with our stand, and it deals with the foe's schemes. Scheme. It's interesting in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. That word wiles is an interesting word. It has the idea of schemes. In fact, the New American Standard translates it that way. Schemes. That word actually means cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. Those are the ideas that are in that word. And we know if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 3 and 4, we find Satan starting to work, and he takes those tactics, doesn't he? Hath God really said? Oh, now come on now. And he takes this craftiness, this deceit, and he comes to man. And he's been doing that all the way along. That's what we read in verse 14 of chapter 4. This whole business of deceit and craftiness. And Satan is very cunning in how he weaves and warps the truth. We need to be careful. And you and I do not necessarily have the wisdom and the ability to decipher all these things. That's why we need Christ's strength. And so the admonition then deals with these three things: the strength, our stand, and the schemes of the devil. We then get to the adversities in verses 11 and 12. First of all, notice the style of the combat. It says in verse 12, for we wrestle. We wrestle. I don't know about you, but oft times schools have wrestling teams. What is the whole thing of wrestling? Well, I looked it up, and this was the result that I found. Wrestling is a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hands, with his hand upon his neck. Now think of it in the spiritual context. We wrestle, and Satan is trying to put you down. He's trying to put you right down and have his hand on your throat. Got the picture? You see, Satan wants to destroy your testimony. He doesn't want others to see your walk and want to know you're Jesus. He wants to destroy your testimony. And I don't care what age you are, what position you have, or who you are, Satan still wants to deal with you. We need to be aware of that. We need to have that in mind. New American actually talks about this as a struggle. You ever feel that way? You go through your Christian life. You know, we have radio evangelists out there, and they talk about this nice Christian life. You know, man, if you come to Christ, you won't have any problems. Have I got news for them? That's only when your problems start. Because now you've got two natures and they're at war continually. Right? There's that constant struggle. Especially if you want to stand for Christ. We find that at camp all the time. When we find the Lord starting to deal with children and with adults, we find that things start to happen that we just don't know where they're coming from and what's happening. You know? There's that conflict that happens. Why? Because Satan knows that God is speaking to children and he doesn't want it to happen, and so he stirs up some other problems to detour our efforts. And it happens continually. You know what happens in the assembly. When the Lord starts to work in the assembly. Listen, if you've got a smooth running assembly, you better look and see what's happening, because probably nothing much is. There's a shocker for you. Especially the elders. They all know what now. But you know, that's the way it is. Because if God is working here, then you can be sure that Satan's going to be trying to stir some problems up. When we were in Newfoundland, we found that Satan used to do that. And what he would do, and this was the whole process that he seemed to use in each area. Initially, he would start and give us all sorts of problems from outside. And if that didn't break us down, then he would start to move inside and he'd cause internal problems. Isn't it amazing? And so often we have more problems with fellow Christians than we have from the world outside. We need to be aware of these things. We need to know how the adversary works so that when we wrestle, we can win. And so that's the style of combat of the adversaries. It's a struggle. Then there's the adversaries themselves. Satan is the first one that's mentioned. The devil. I believe that oft times Satan is given more credit than he deserves. Satan is very powerful. But you know something? He's not all powerful. And sometimes we give him credit for being all-powerful. He's not, folks. He's got many others working for him. And there's an enormous power as far as we are concerned. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our God is all-powerful. And we need to keep that in mind. Satan is cunning. We've talked about that. Extremely cunning. And he knows a lot. But he's not all-knowing. If he was all-knowing, he never would have had Christ convicted. Remember that. Because that was just exactly what God wanted. And so there's Satan. There's the spiritual battle. We've essentially alluded to this. We find in verse 12 it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle of the unseen. Do you remember? I believe it was Elisha. Surrounded. What had happened was the Syrians were coming down and they were going after the king of Israel. And Elisha would send a message to the king and say, this is what's going to happen. Just, you know, be prepared and go do this. And so the Syrian army lost. They went running back to their king. They had another plan and they tried that out and the same results. Finally, the king got his crew together and said, now listen, somebody in this group is spreading the word and there's a leak here somewhere. We want to know who it is. Now his army boys were sharp. They said, no, it's nobody here. It's Elisha. They knew. And so the king of Assyria sent, and they surrounded the city that Elisha was in. And the next morning, Elisha got up, and his servant got up, and his servant walked out and looked out the door, or out the window, and lo and behold, there were all these Syrians all around. You remember that? And the servant came back to Elisha and said, we're in trouble. What happened? Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Right? And as he looked out the window, he saw the angels of God all around in camp. And obviously there were more angels than there were Syrians. Because the servant suddenly felt a little more at ease. You know, beloved, we're in a spiritual battle. But God's host, remember, he's the God of hosts. Some of the newer translations have taken that out. But he's the God of hosts. He's the one who is in charge of all the angels of heaven. It's a spiritual battle. And then we discover in verse 12 some other things listed. We're not against these, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now that has the idea of beginning or origin. The person or thing that commences. The first person or thing in a series, the leader. Now what I suggest to you at this point is this reminds us of self. Self. The old nature. Wasn't that the one that we had at the beginning? Wasn't that the principal one that we had? And then Christ came in. Listen, beloved, we fight against that old nature. We've talked about that. Someone asked another individual how they win the battles. Well, he says, it's just like two dogs fighting. Well, yeah, but which one wins? Well, it's the one I say sick 'em to. You know, the thing is, if we want to win, we need to feed and encourage the right nature, right? And that, of course, is the spiritual nature, which means we need to get into the book, feed on the book. We need to be studying and learning about Christ. And so, the adversaries is the style of the combat, Satan, spiritual battle, self, and then we find spirits or demons in verse 12. That's against powers. Against powers. And then we have that also brings in the principalities. And then there's the powers, which is the self-satisfying things. This idea of powers even brings in the state and some of the rules that the state brings in. It says that the definition of that is the power of choice, liberty to do as one pleases. That's the idea there. And then the power of authority, or the rule of government. And so some of these things that we have, or sometimes ourselves, we have to sometimes battle our own mind. How do we win some of these problems, these battles? Well, somebody's mentioned it in prayer tonight. Keeping our mind set on Him. Keeping our mind set on the high calling. Keeping our mind in heavenly places. Those are the sorts of things that help us to overcome these things. And then we have the system, or the world forces, when we talk about the rulers of darkness. In other words, what we're saying here is our adversaries, as we covered this, include the world and the system, the flesh, our lusts, all those things, and the devil. Those are our adversaries. Well, then we have the armor mentioned. We could spend much time on the armor. I'm sure you've had many lessons on that before, many messages. Let me just mention this. Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, it's intriguing. In the Orient, and the Jews would have a similar understanding, the emotions were considered, we consider them coming from the heart. They consider them coming from the bowels. And here we have the loins girt about with truth. So that kind of protects some of those things, doesn't it? And I suggest to you that oft times, we kind of stretch the truth a little bit. We have a little bit, well, some of us, maybe you're not trouble with that down here, but some of us have a little trouble with gossip. You know, where you take something and you kind of run with it. I think that is part of this. We need to have our lives controlled by truth. Speaking the truth in love, we read. Speaking the truth in love. Now it's intriguing, as you go through Scripture, those two things go together, don't they? Truth and love. The problem is, most of us are, well, we're a little bit extremist, aren't we? We either err on the one side or we err on the other. You know, there's those that, well, truth is a thing, and hard as it may be, we're going to just hammer the truth, you know, and that's the way it is. On the other hand, there's those that really push love, and while you just don't want to worry too much about some of these other things. It's just to love one another and so on and so forth. Beloved, Christianity is a combination of the two. It's a blend. And God would bring both of those together. The truth is, we're sinners. The love is, Christ died for us. The truth is that all nature is there, and we're going to sin. The love is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can go on down all the way through, and God comes with this blend to us, and He wants us to display the same thing. Truth in love. And there needs to be that blend. Well, the clock says I'm done. So I've got to quit. We'll leave that now to your study. We trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to us and bless you. We have the weapons. Remember, there was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then there's that secret weapon, prayer. And it's interesting when we look at prayer, what Paul asked them to pray for, that he might be bold, that he might speak as he ought. In other words, sometimes he needs some tact. Sometimes you just tell it like it is. And how we need wisdom in those things. What does James say? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally. And so we need to have that wisdom. We need to speak as we ought. Those of us who are out speaking, oh, how we desire that. Those of us who are out witnessing, we need it too. We need it at camp. Doesn't matter whether it's Galilee Bible Camp or whether it's Camp Lilolai. We need to be bold. And we need to speak as we ought. May it be so. For Christ's honor and glory, let's pray.